Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
G'day guys, welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. I've got Ronan Sartana of Block Crunch Capital. Mate, I've got a very good introduction for you. So could you please tell the viewers and listeners all about yourself and what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So Block Crunch Capital, we're an investment bank. We help blockchain companies or regular companies get into the space by issuing tokens, implementing blockchain technology properly and effectively. That does include selecting protocols and which technology would be the best to support them. We help them with private placements with investors, secondary marketing, exchange listing. Through our partnerships, we have a lot of resources. So we try and be instrumental to companies and entering the space and really achieve whatever objectives that they want. And the good thing is we see a lot of demand right now and a lot of companies that need these types of services. So we're very selective in terms of the companies we take on. So,
well, you can be. I mean, you're an investment bank inside of the blockchain space. It's a fascinating concept. You've been doing it for a little while, and how many projects have you worked on so far? And what, like, if I'm a project that wants to get something done, I want to get on the blockchain, or I want to learn about how to get into this environment, because as we know, a lot of people in the space, as soon as you put the word blockchain or you do news about blockchain, you get a hit in the arm for your company. Do you bring already existing companies into the space, or are you exclusively working on brand new startups?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the whole industry is maturing very quickly, and investors are as well. Exchanges definitively are moving very quickly. The best companies are those that are implementing blockchain the right way. And so we typically try and evaluate if blockchain actually makes sense for a company, if having a decentralized ledger makes sense. Some cases, it actually really does, and there's a very exciting use cases. And then others times, it's really just a means of capital formation, which honestly is also fine. I think like utilizing this technology to raise capital is kosher.
Yeah.
And it's also beneficial for investors. So I think there's a lot of things that we'll see and why blockchain technology does make sense for everybody. But we are very transparent and do like to elaborate like why the use of blockchain is appropriate for each company that we take on. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about your background, how you got to this point, and then we'll go into the vision and what you're trying to achieve with the company?
Because yeah,
it's an interesting, like running an investment bank effectively within blockchain, I mean, it's unheard of to a certain degree. It's definitely interesting. I want to know more. I know that the listeners and the viewers will also want to know a lot more. So
where
have you come from and why are we here?
So you asked before how many clients we've had. Yeah. We've had three projects. They've been successful, and more so than the projects we've directly taken on, we have a lot of partnerships as well. We're very partnership heavy right now.
Yeah, okay.
So First Bitcoin Capital is a public company. They're doing some really amazing things right now. I'm very excited about their near-term future. They've done over 150 ICOs as a company. So as you can imagine, then MLG Blockchain is Canada's top firm, and they've worked with amazing companies like Tron. They did their, they've worked with them for quite some time now. LA Token, very strong reputation in Canada. So we work with them for marketing, First Bitcoin Capital a lot on the investor relations side. And then we are becoming a broker dealer. So I got my Series 7, I'm gonna get my Series 24. We have two principals and we went through the new membership application with FINRA. So we're in the process of hopefully getting that solidified in the near term. Our story into the space is like, it's insane.
Like everyone else's?
It's really, it's been the most amazing experience of my life. So just really quick background, it can go on for a while, but
yeah, sure.
I had my Series 7 actually when I was 18 years old. I was working full time in college and I was doing options trading and I left going into junior year of college. I left college and the industry. I went into software sales. So 2017, January, started my own business, was doing various projects and they were successful. I was supporting myself, but I ended up meeting my partner and he has a very strong reputation in Russia. Babir Alkakhanov founded Kupi Coupon, a lot of cool stuff overseas. he started getting inbound requests for ICOs and blockchain. And at that point, we're like, what is this?
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, we really just like bootstrapped our way in, and we got our first client that was successful, went to conferences, represented them, met a ton of people. And, you know, it clicked with me. I had software, you know, experience.
Yeah.
I had financial experience, and we closed deals. We closed a lot of investment early on, thankfully, closed amazing partnerships. And now as a company, we have access to over 45,000 investors and probably the best resources for any ICO, good project, yep, to either do a security token, utility token, market themselves, private placements, et cetera.
So, okay, I come in, I've got a pre-existing business, and I come to you and I said, look, you know, will this work on the blockchain? Can it be more efficient? Can it be better? Can we access a new market? All of the above. What are you looking for to answer that question? Like, is there a specific set of like a checklist almost that you're looking for to fit whether or not something should be on the blockchain? Because we know what it's like, right? We see people out there that are just literally doing a quick money grab. We saw it the run up to December, we saw it in January. People just tokenizing anything because it's like, well, it's free money almost. The hunger to invest in ICOs leading up to or through December and the start of January, start of this year, it was fever pitched. It was enthusiastic money. I won't say easy money. It was very enthusiastic money looking for a home. So how do you get around what's a good project, what's not a good project, and how many times have you actually had to sort of go, you just don't need to be here?
Yeah, absolutely. So just starting from the beginning, I think it would be healthy to just talk about what blockchain is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think there's so much obscurity. You know, we read articles and we see these
pretty picture of a coin.
Yeah, and that's not what blockchain is. You know, it's not a beautiful golden bee with, you know, sexy lines in and out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to see that,
yeah,
but it's imaginary. So blockchain is, as you know, blockchain is like an Excel sheet.
Yeah.
Instead of being verified by a centralized party, it's an Excel sheet that's verified by the blockchain.
Yep.
The blockchain are a series of miners and nodes, and they're rewarded for keeping an accurate ledger or an accurate like snapshot of the ledger,
yeah,
of the Excel sheet.
Yeah.
When you buy a token, you're basically buying either a cell in the Excel sheet or a portion of a cell in an Excel sheet.
Yeah.
And you don't even have the token. You have basically the information of the token in the Excel sheet.
Yep.
So that Excel sheet, what it does is determined by a smart contract. If that Excel sheet is an equity, it's an equity. It can be an equity, it probably will be largely in the future.
Yeah.
Equity on the blockchain.
Yes.
If it's a license for software, a license for service, it's probably utility.
Yep.
If you market it saying this, the value of this is going up, it's a security.
Security again. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
it really is though, right?
It really is.
It really is.
And it's like people talk about regulation so much. It's not that regulations are changing or that the SEC is bad. It's just that SEC says, hey guys, you guys are breaking regulations by not registering.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do it in the US, these laws have been around since 1933, and you should probably advise people on how not to break the law. I don't believe the SEC is being out of line. They're actually being rather lenient.
Responsible and lenient, I agree.
Because I don't think people are bad intentioned. The industry obviously has a lot of hype, but there's obviously bad actors in it.
Absolutely, like everywhere else.
Like everywhere else, but for the most part, like you have genuine people who are trying to create businesses who see an opportunity to raise capital, implement exciting new technology, and they just need help on, you know, how to actually do it. So that's where we come in. How we determine whether a company's good use case for blockchain or not, you know, I know it sounds funny, but is having a decentralized ledger appropriate? Are there points, if they have an API, if they have a central like response mechanism that's with their software, and if that API can automatically trigger payments at a more efficient basis, then it makes sense. If they can better engage with their crowd base, it makes sense. If they can use it to form capital and ultimately get a much larger valuation, which I think we'll see a lot in the future, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, if Apple were to issue only Apple tokens, for Apple products, they would have $50 trillion worth of tokens.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I think personally, Amazon, Starbucks, you already heard Facebook's thinking about it. And Facebook's perfect. I mean, I used to do Facebook ads all the time, and it's like, I don't know if my numbers are real. With crypto, every time an API is pinged, they have to pay cryptocurrency, and you know it's legitimate. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good use case for crypto, and Facebook can raise an obscene amount of money.
Oh, it will be insane.
Without even diluting any equity.
Correct, exactly.
So, and then lastly, you know, we actually have a very simple analysis on what we look for in good investments.
Yep.
I think it's actually becoming industry standard as well. Product, traction, team, synergies. Product, how is there, do they even have an MVP?
Yep.
What's the market size of their product? Team, executive team, completeness of their engineering team. What's their business development plan, advisory board, et cetera?
Yep.
And then traction is do they have any key performance indicators, KPIs?
Yeah.
Or do they have, even if it's a little bit, like we're working on an extremely exciting project right now. It's called the Fan-Controlled Football League.
Fan-Controlled Football League. You heard it first here, ladies and gentlemen.
I am so excited, pulling out every single, you know, hopeful big contact in my Rolodex. You know,
you have a Rolodex?
We have, let me give you the idea first and then we could talk about like really quick. It's like, Fan Control Football League. It's so crazy. When I heard this pitch, I was like, this is so crazy. It just might work.
Yeah.
They have basically, you're watching real life football players and there's a coach and the coach selects four plays and then you can select and vote which play you want to be called next. So it's like, there's going to be like
from a live football match.
Live football game. Right. It's like real life Madden.
So you watch it on TV anyway, and then you can sort of like, we're looking at a chessboard or checkerboard or, you know, backgammon board.
Yeah.
You can then sort of go, right, you place the next play, and if you're right.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be microphones on the players, video cams on the players. And like the idea, now imagine like Shaquille O'Neal versus Charles Barkley, who's heading a team, and you can actually take part with them. You know, it's going to be live stream on Twitch. There's a lot of big players that we're hopefully going to get.
Jesus.
And that's a perfect use case for crypto. Because if you have crypto and you want to like buy plays or you want to like do fantasy football with these people.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
I think there's like an amazing crypto play there. So, you know, their traction, obviously they haven't created a fan-controlled football league yet.
Correct.
But their traction, they bought a team in an independent league. And they basically created this model where their fans could select the plays, and they were the only team to do it. I think the only team to ever even try it.
Yeah.
Their engagement was 40% higher than every other team in the league.
But did they win?
They went 5-11 the first year.
So what's that mean? 11 wins, 5 losses?
Five wins, 11 losses.
Right, okay.
So. It was an expansion team.
Got it. Okay.
But still, like, 40% higher than everyone else in the league for engagement.
And it's a business, right? Yeah. I mean, sport's a business these days, and people want to sell jerseys. They want to find revenue, whether it be advertising, however it may be. And this creates a new way of bringing revenue to a sport. And it could also be really, really good for sort of sporting teams that aren't in the higher earning capacity just yet, you know, the lower division teams, because it is a way for people to come in and be involved. It's a big risk for the team to start off with, and of course there need to be some control mechanisms around that, but you're right, it might just, you know, it's a crazy enough idea that it might just work.
Right, and then you throw in crypto, and like their use case for blockchain is actually, I think, really interesting. Like you can buy tokens for the right to call plays. You can in the future hopefully like bet with your friends on who's going to win and who's calling better plays. You're earning tokens from your engagement and like the success of your play calls, etc. So you can't really do that with anything else. I mean, this is a good use of blockchain. They have traction. I mean, they have real KPIs from real life like efforts. They've raised money. They have an amazing advisory board. I mean, ex NFL head of operations, head of teams. You know, operations.
So people within high positions or that have been within the actual sport makeup, on teams, running teams, coaches. So these are people that are invested emotionally and potentially capital-wise into this idea. So it's good to hear that they've actually got some big hitters behind them. Because, I mean, you come from a player point of view. I mean, imagine a play. Like, here's an issue I'll bring up, right? They're mic'd up, they got a camera. I play rugby union, right? Rugby union's a big sport in Australia, okay? Now, some of the things I would say and do on the pitch, it's not me. It's the rugby playing me. It's the full of adrenaline running around, tackling and getting smashed by
and
people.
And that's entertaining.
It is entertaining, but Christ, what would my mum think?
I mean, at the end of the day, it is extremely entertaining, and this would be live streamed on Twitch.
R-rated.
It's going to be live streamed on Twitch. Players are going to be like motivated and actually incentivized to like engage with the fans and take their helmet off and do celebrations. So it's like what they're trying to do is make this the next wave of like digital entertainment of live sports.
Yeah, I understand that.
And then like throw that in with crypto. It's like, I think it's a great match. And then just getting back to like the point of like what we look for in companies.
Yeah.
This is like a very obscure idea. And when I saw it, I was like, like I've never even thought of that. That's so outside the box. But they have a great team. They have a product that they're like legitimately working on. Everything that they're trying to do is basically being met. They have real traction. And then the last one, Synergy, like as a company, we can come in and without naming names, because I don't want to.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, but like we can bring potentially like Hall of Fame, current active players who could be team captains. We could bring, you know, some of the most notable celebrities and actors in the world to come in and be like team captains, or make it that much more engaging where fans can actually like, I root for Shaq or I root for Charles Barkley.
Well, think of it like World Series Poker, what happened. Like poker went from a card game to a big television phenomenon with massive betting cover. I mean, that was the birth of poker. Similar sort of thing, probably a pretty wild idea. Who wants to watch people play cards? I mean, that conversation would have been had. And now look at the size of that industry. But I think it's a fantastic idea. And I'll be sitting on the sidelines watching that very, very closely, so to speak. But I wanted to hit you with one more thing before we wrap. The regulation side of things, we discussed it very briefly before the interview started. Where do you think we're going? How soon do you think it's happening? Obviously, you're an investment bank in the space. You're going to have your ear to the ground very, very closely. You'll be having lots of conversations around this space. Is there anything that you sort of see coming that you believe will be positive, negative, challenges, these sorts of things? Regulation is a big conversation. I just want to sort of have that conversation with you because you're probably at the coalface more than most.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about the industry's growth potential in the near term, extremely. Like I want to and wrote an article and plan on publishing it, why I believe Bitcoin's going to 50,000. And
we like that.
Yeah, I would love that as well. But I mean, just objectively, like, If institutional capital is like Goldman Sachs, Circle, bought Poloniex, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
That they bring like a lot of institutional capital to the table. If the custodian issue is solved, I mean, you have potentially like a 5x of the crypto market cap. Like what we're seeing right now is relatively very small compared to what it can be. And especially if like Reg D, 506C, private placements. I mean, there's very simple, it sounds like it's complicated, but like Reg S, if you're a foreign company and you want to raise money from the United States, you could do so through a Reg S and through from accredited investors. If you're a US company and you want to raise money while being exempt and not reporting, Reg D, 506C. If you want to do like full-blown public company, Reg A+. It is a little bit more expensive, the legal fees, but at the end of the day, like companies more and more you hear, we're going to go this route. We want to do this kosher. We want to, be appropriate and in good standing with the SEC and FINRA. And so when that comes and you have a new wave of institutional capital, like I'm very excited about the prospects of dApps getting really good valuations and funded because they're kosher and institutional capital can put their money behind it. And then for the Bitcoin, you couldn't short a ledger up until the futures, there was futures trading. Yeah. So you couldn't short a ledger. I mean, that's insane. Like you only have buyers and sellers are limited to the cost of mining and it's limited to hodlers.
At the end
of the day, I mean, Bitcoin shorters are going up against the most passionate community
absolutely
known to mankind.
Yes.
I mean, I know friends that were in Bitcoin early on, and like they're like, yeah, I love Bitcoin. Like it's a passion project for them. They're not going to sell for many. Most of my friends aren't going to sell for less than 10.
Yep.
And then miners, like the cost that goes into mining, why would they logically sell for less than that?
Exactly.
So there is a floor, in my opinion. And so, yeah, sure. Like market cap or price went from 20,000 down to like 9 to 6, whatever it is now.
Yep.
But once the floor is met, and then the prospective upside of institutional capital coming in, of the custodian issue being resolved, of real use case, like an adoption of the technology and payments and stuff like that. I mean, 500 billion market cap for it to go to 2 trillion, 10 trillion. It sounds like it's like a huge jump, but at the end of the day, like relative to other markets out there and how disruptive a technology this is, it's very conceivable that this could happen. So, and just from like a logic perspective, like I think ticket sales for Consensus quadrupled.
Like the 17 million in revenue or something along the lines of that, just from one single event. I mean, it's madness down there.
It's insane.
It's absolutely madness. So we tried to find a spot to interview today, and you cannot find a spot in that Hilton Hotel. It's an absolute mess. But it shows how exciting the industry is. And I've been speaking to people that were here last year, and it's double, treble the size of what it was. The space is evolving very, very quickly. There's no doubt that once they've got that custodial issue sorted out, the institutional money will be ready to go. And the institutional money is motivated to be in this space, and it's just looking for that safety element. How can we keep our clients' money safe and keep our own money safe? Now, the space will discover that. It is not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And more and more, like, I'm a trader, so I'm watching if the fluctuations in price at the moment. At the moment, to be fair, it's been a bit average because it's just not doing a great deal. It's a bit messy, but you know, I'm also an investor in the space. Now, I've never been more bullish of any technology ever in my life. I'm all in on this, and I'm not concerned about the fluctuations from my investments because I just know what is going to happen. It's an exciting period of time, and it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, mate, because it's having the insight that you do, being the first investment bank in crypto that I know of anyway. I wish you all the best of luck, and if we can have a show down the track and see how you're going with certain projects, it'd be an absolute pleasure. Ronan,
fantastic.
Very
Thank
good
you
having
so
you on board. If anybody wants to find out more information about you, where you're from, what you do, how do they find you, mate?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Ronan Sartena, Sartena. Shoot me your white paper. We read hundreds a week collectively throughout our partnerships. And you can also email me at Ronen, R-O-N-E-N, at btcnewyork.com.
Mate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Good on you.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out TraderCobb.com because experience matters.